John Busby with the Culture Buzz. And trust me, folks, when I tell you that this interview has been a long time in the making because of this artist's incredibly busy schedule and me not being able to connect at the right time and all sorts of things. But all good things will come together eventually. I have faith in that, and thank goodness they did. Laura Hall is my guest, and we're going to be talking about a band of hers that it's one of those albums that I put in and I just kept let it keep looping. And it's music that makes you smile, makes you get a little wistful, just makes you happy. It's great music. And if you're shaking your head out there saying, oh, wait a second, that name sounds familiar, I actually knew of Laura Hall along with millions of you other people out there. If you ever watched Whose Line Is It Anyway, because she is the piano genius who improvised on the spot, made the magic happen when they did the musical parts of that show. And then everything kind of came together several years ago when we got this incredible award-winning short film at the Wild Rose Independent Film Festival called A Slice of Pie. And Rick Hall created it. And after he came to Des Moines to be part of the festival, which was a great experience for everyone there. They loved the film as well. They should. It was a great film. And then that's when we found out that Rick and Laura are an item, folks. So, Laura, thanks so much for taking time to join us, because I just want to start there with that film, because that film was a very important launching pad for what I've been enjoying.
Well, it certainly was. And so our bandmate, Kelly McLeod, was the star in the film with my husband, Rick. And when they were working on it, and, you know, there's long hours on a shoot where you're kind of hanging out. And when they were working on it, he realized that her and I liked so much of the same kind of music, that we really shared, this music that we like. And so he came back and said, you two should start writing together. And I was like, Rick, it's not that easy. Just because two people like the same kinds of music doesn't mean they can co-write and be in a band together. That's like a whole nother thing. He goes, well, you should try it. Well, and, you know, of course, he was right. So Kelly and I started writing together, and we had, right away, we wrote 20 songs together in just a couple months. It was really creative. And so we made our first CD before we'd even done a gig together. We hadn't done a show together yet. Because we were coming at it from the writer's standpoint, you know, the songwriter standpoint. So we did our first CD, and then we went, oh, now we have to figure out how to be a band and how we're going to play this stuff live, because we don't want to just have a CD. We want to be out playing it for people. So then we had a period of a couple years of sort of figuring out now who we were as a band, not just as writers, but our live show, which is a separate thing. And then this year we made our new CD, which just came out in middle of March. And it feels like this one is like we really, I'm proud of the first one. I certainly am. The second one, it feels like we've really found our voice, you know, from playing together this time. And just like everything is really gelled. And I'm so proud of this new CD.
Well, rightfully so. And folks, if you're starting to get curious, and I'll mention this a couple of times in the course of the conversation with Laura, the website you want to visit is www.thesweetpotatoes.com. You will find everything out about this wonderful band, but most importantly, how you can access the music. One thing, you know, and I'm kind of Iowa nice, and so if there's something that maybe doesn't ring true or something like that, I just won't talk about it. But your music and just the energy and just positiveness about your music just pierces right through everything, and there's an honesty which I truly have enjoyed. And like I said at the beginning of the conversation, your music is something that I just can sit there and just let it loop time and time again, for the simple reason it seems like I catch a little different nuance each time. And that is something I don't always experience with bands and with music.
Well, thank you. And, you know, my favorite music, I feel that way too. Like Lucinda Williams' Car Wheels on a Gravel Road was one of those records for me that, like, I must have listened to it for a thousand times when I first got it, because I just felt like there was so much in the songwriting, and like every time I heard it, there was more to hear. So thank you. That's a great compliment to me, because I love it when I find music that's that way for me.
Well, see, I have to be honest, because if I'm not honest, then I have to keep building upon the lie I've created. So it's I'm not clever enough to build on that kind of prefabrication. But the first album, of course, was the self-name, The Sweet Potatoes. And that really is kind of a roots-type sound to it. It's very organic, and it's just if you were to just keep the windows down and travel the back roads of the heartland, going through small communities, you may run across sounds like this, not as musical, not as wonderfully crafted maybe, but this is kind of the music of the heartland, I felt.
Well, I think it definitely is. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. Well, actually, both Rick and I grew up in Illinois, and Kelly grew up in Louisiana. And I grew up, you know, my mom was way into the folk scene in Chicago, and so I grew up listening to Joan Baez and Joni Mitchell and, you know, and the Weavers and, you know, like a whole interesting variety of stuff. And I think a lot of that is sort of informed this music. And then I also love like classic country. I love Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline and that kind of stuff. So I think there's a little of all of that in there. But definitely we are like heartland people. And when we come back to the Midwest to play, it just feels like these are our people. You know, like we know these people. These are our roots, you know?
Well, it resonates. And that resonation, when it rings true, it's fun to listen to. It plucks at the heartstrings. It tugs at the eyes, and you know maybe a tear will well up, or you're going to get a great big smile on your face, and you find yourself looking down, and your feet are moving of their own accord. It's fun music. And then I was just so deliciously surprised going from the first album then to Faith, Good Neighbors, and a Telephone, because it's just like, oh my gosh, they skipped grade school, junior high, and high school and went right to college. there was just, in a delightful way. Don't get me wrong, because as you said, that first album you should rightfully be proud of. The second album has so many more different nuances and flavors to it. It's just like they could almost have two different band names if they wanted to.
It does feel like we've sort of grown up as writers in a way by the second one. And it is also that thing of playing live, because when you play in front of a live audience is when you really get a sense of your songs and what they are by the feedback you get, and not even necessarily the spoken feedback, but just the feeling that you get back from an audience. And so it's almost like we did, because we were playing live, we did more research, so to speak, on the songs for the second CD than we did with the first one.
Well, both albums are just packed with wonderful musicality, folks. And your personal collection is sadly lacking. If you don't have these first two Sweet Potatoes albums in your collection, and noticed I very cleverly said your first two, because I know there's more stuff in the works here. But just go to thesweetpotatoes.com for more information on how to get the albums, and you're going to be surprised. Obviously, you're going to be hearing some of this music during the show today, because we get a great conversation. We get great backstory here from Laura Hall herself on behalf of the band. But, you know, the one thing I noticed about this, and what a fun cover this is against the red pickup truck. See, I'm enticing you folks. You have to go to the website now, because I'm referring to images that you have to go to, because this is radio. So I can paint a picture, but you want to look at the picture. But I noticed that, so you smart aleck husband of mine made the suggestion, we're going to just simply recruit you into the band. Is that kind of how it came about?
That is what happened. That really is what happened. So, you know, we'd written these songs, and then we're like, well, now we got to be a band. So you got to play bass with us. So, so we did recruit him. So he plays bass and harmonica. And on the second CD, he sings a lot more, too, which is great. You know, so we can do some fun three-part stuff. But we definitely recruited him.
Well.
And I just want to say this about the website and our Facebook page. You have to make sure you do the sweet potatoes.
Yes.
Because if you just do sweet potatoes, you'll get recipes.
Well, not that recipes are bad, folks.
Nothing
but
wrong with recipes.
You want to be listening to the music when you're making the recipe. So go to thesweetpotatoes.com, and I'll repeat that. And as you just heard there, you can also go to the Sweet Potatoes on Facebook to get connected, get interacted, and get communicating. And I know this is just simply going to be the beginning of a conversation because this is such a fun music. It's good music, and it's just... It's the kind of stuff you want to share with people, and you do it from a perspective of not, you know, I heard this first, so I want you to hear it so that you can know that I let you hear it first. Your music has this built-in, I've got to share this because this is such fun music.
Well, thank you.
Well, it doesn't always happen that way because sometimes there are challenges and problems. Well, let's talk about what were some of the challenges. Maybe this was just this positively euphoric multi-year venture that started on Rick's suggestion, or what have been some of the challenges along the way to keep your focus, to pay homage to your muses that said you've got to do music?
Well, I think any time you have a band, and, you know, being in a band, I think it was Mick Fleetwood said, you know, it's like a marriage, but there's more of you. You know, anytime you're in a band, it's a challenge because there's the group dynamic of it. And then it's always interesting, too, when there's a married couple in a band. Like, you have to be careful to sort of always make sure that you're checking in about stuff. But I would say one of the biggest challenges is that it is hard to play shows in Los Angeles, which is where we live. It's very hard to find the right kind of venues for us. And, you know, L.A. can be a little, you know, there's like a club scene and there's the whole pay-to-play thing. And, you know, we just can't do that. we just can't do that.
Good for you.
So one of the things we've realized is that we just need to be out and about playing more. So we are, you know, we've been cultivating playing in Northern California, and we just did a house concert in Las Vegas, and, you know what I mean, getting out a little bit wider, and we love coming to the Midwest. The tricky thing about that is it's a big trip for us coming
yes.
from California. And we all have kids. That's the other, you know, anytime you're in a band, you're balancing it with your life. And, you know, and then my, you know, I have my day job, is Whose Line Is It Anyway, which... We shoot for a very short period of the year, so that's the plus for me, is that we shoot for maybe 2 months out of the year. So I have some freedom, but Rick auditions and does commercials and television.
Yes.
Kelly's a mom. Kelly has stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we all have stuff that we're doing, and I know this is true with any band. It's a juggling act with the rest of your life. I think that's why people tend to do it either when they're really young, like in their 20s and they don't have commitments yet, or after they're retired. You know, like a lot of people, I know a lot of people in the acoustic scene who are soloing, they're touring as a solo act or a duo, and their kids are grown and they're sort of past that. But it's definitely a challenge.
Well, I think it's a challenge that you meet and you succeed at, because I have to believe that the children involved, connected to your band directly, are going to benefit, because it takes a special kind of dedication and working of schedules and commitment that I think passes along. Not to steal away from you, but my wife and I are the same way. We work for ourselves, and we have the one daughter, but we actually end up kind of folding her into an awful lot of the stuff that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that you've got some built-in roadies just to enjoy the music sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also shows them that thing about that if you want something, you can work at it and figure out a way to make it happen. You know, even if it's not necessarily a real straight, simple path, but that if you think creatively about it, if you think if you're thinking creatively, even about the work itself, that you can happen. And if that's what you want. And I think that's a great lesson for kids.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic lesson. And besides, I know that there are scientific data out there that shows that children who are involved with music are much more likely to succeed and earn greater incomes and do all this other stuff much better than the ones that don't embrace music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go.
Yeah, even if it's not what they're doing as a career. I mean, our oldest daughter is getting ready to go to college for bioengineering, which is something that is, like, so off the charts for my brain. But I also think part of it, that like you said, having music in her life makes her a better scientist, too. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. I have interviewed so many scientists for the books that they've written, but they've talked about creativity, especially music, being such an important part of their lives. You've nailed it there, Laura. You've nailed it. Laura Hall is my guest, and she, with her band, the Sweet Potatoes, are dishing up some wonderful stuff for your ears, and you simply have to get hold of your copies of the albums. Go to the website, www.thesweetpotatoes.com. Get all the information there. Very simply, order the albums there. That's what you want to do. And consider this, folks, the beginning of a dialogue, because I think that they are just beginning to tap the mother lode of musicality that they have within themselves, and they keep feeding each other. I love that about you guys. I just get that as a strong sense. So I have to ask this parting question. Do you have kind of a targeted time for maybe a next album?
Well, you know, it's funny because we were mixing this one, and our producer, Phil Swan, said, "So are you guys writing?" and you know, when you're in the middle of the process, sometimes it's hard to think about the next one. But we definitely don't want to wait as long for the next one, because this one was almost 2.5 years after the first one. Although, as we talked about before, I think that time was sort of necessary for us. But we're starting to write, so, you know, that's the step one.
That's the step one.
Yeah.
Laura Hall, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your musical gifts, especially through the Sweet Potatoes here. Folks, go to www.thesweetpotatoes.com. Get your albums, get your music. That way you can say, my collection is much more complete now that I have the Sweet Potatoes in it. And we will let you know down the road when we have the next installment of the Sweet Potatoes Conversation, I will call it for now. Until then, much more success with what you do. Give my blessings and best to everyone out there in your immediate family and friends. And what a wonderful bit of serendipity when Rick Hall brought his film to the Wild Rose Independent Film Festival. I could not have hoped for a much better beginning of a fun relationship.
Well, thank you so much, John, and thanks for the interview. It's been really nice talking with you.
You take care. We'll talk to you later, Laura.
Bye-bye.